Hebrews 12 and 25, he said, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." And everybody said amen.
Amen.
All right, you can be seated. And what tremendous words that we have here that I think we should be very, very conscious of, especially in the times that we're currently living in. I do not believe that we can overemphasize the fact that we are living in the end time. And I don't think it is something that we should minimize. We certainly should not minimize the fact that we are drawing very close to the end. Many, many things are shaping up. And there are various statements made in the Word of God that makes it very clear that we are in the end times. Someone said, when will we begin to encounter the last days? We are in the last days. It's not a matter of when they come. They're already here. And we obviously do not know the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it should be proclaimed that He is still coming. Jesus Christ is coming again. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 12, toward the latter part of that chapter, talked about how that we are not come, verse number 18, we're not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. What he's talking about here is the time when Israel was in the wilderness and they were at Mount Sinai, and God began to speak from the top of that mountain. His very voice was heard. I personally am persuaded by what I read in Scripture that when you read Exodus chapter 20 and you read what we call the Ten Commandments, the commandments of God, it is my understanding, it is my persuasion, when I read the Scripture and try to put everything in order, that those words were actually spoken directly by God to the people of God. And that they actually heard His voice declaring those things unto Him. And I also believe that it was those commandments that He wrote in the stone with His finger. And so God spoke. And because of the fearfulness of God's voice, then they asked that Moses go up on the mountain and talk to God directly, because it made them extremely afraid to hear this sound of God's voice coming from the heavenlies. And so the writer of Hebrews 12 is telling us, and using that comparison, that we're not come to that kind of a mountain that can't be touched, that burned with fire, but we are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus. Everybody say, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And so it is there that we pick up these verses of Scripture that we want to read from here this morning. We have not come to a mountain that cannot be touched with hands and that burn with fire to blackness and darkness and tempest, but we have come to the church of the living God. And we have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And he said, then in verse number 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. And so we don't hear a voice from the top of a mountain, but we hear the voice of Jesus Christ through his word. And he is telling us that we do not need to refuse the voice of the one that is talking today. What is he saying? Amen. If you went back in Scripture and you started reading some of the things of Jesus, he said things like this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. I don't want to resist that kind of an invitation. I don't want to resist that kind of a call. The word of the Lord teaches us, and he said, the whole have not need of a physician, but those that are sick. And he went on to say that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so many things that Jesus said in respect to the fact that he would give men an opportunity to draw near to him, to come close to him. I'm so happy today that we do have opportunity to draw near to one that can save us, that can deliver us, that can help us, that can give us hope where there is no hope, that can give us help where there seems to be no help. Aren't you happy today that you know Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Ghost? Would you clap your hands unto him? Hallelujah. Amen. And so he said, refuse not him that speak, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn from him that speaks from heaven. Now, verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth? Amen. Whose voice in that time shook the earth? Because when you read the scripture, the sound of the voice of God literally caused the mountain to tremble and the earth to tremble when God spake in that time. And so now we are hearing him speak from heaven. And the things that he is declaring to us, we need to stand up and pay attention to. Because not only did he talk about what he would do for us if we would draw near to him, but he's also declared to us the end time and things that we can look for where the end of time is concerned. I don't want to ignore anything that Jesus has had to say. I don't want to ignore the invitation to come unto me, all you that labor. And I certainly don't want to ignore the warning signs that he gave to us regarding the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want my eyes to be open. I refuse to live today with my head in the sand. I refuse to ignore the unfolding events of our time and just hope that everything's going to be all right. I pray, God, get our eyes upon the glory world where that we can get a hold of that which is beyond this life. Eternal life. Amen. And so his voice shook the earth, but now also heaven. And he says yet once more. It signifies this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now that's the verse that I want to draw from today. And I want to ask you a question, and that question is simply this. When the shaking stops, where will you be? We have a warning here this morning. We have a warning before us. And that warning is, there's already been one shaking, but there's coming another shaking. Amen. There is coming a shaking, not only of the earth, but the heavenlies also. And he said that when this shaking takes place, there will be a removing of those things that are shaken. That those things which cannot be shaken shall remain. So we understand that there is another shaking coming to this world. There is going to be another voice of God. There's going to be another exhibiting of His great power and His authority. And when that shaking takes place, the Bible makes it clear right here that when it's all going on, there's going to be a lot of stuff shaken that's going to be removed. And then that which cannot be shaken is going to remain. So the question before us today is, when the shaking stops, where will you be? I hope I'm with Him. My plans are to be with Him. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, when you talk about shaking, just give me some time here this morning. We're in Sunday school. It's Bible class. I want to reach for something. I want to help us today. The Lord will help me to help you. But whenever we look back down the course of time and we read history, we know that there have been many events where the earth is concerned that we would consider cataclysmic in nature. There have been things that have taken place that we could call them, or they're denoted as a violent natural event. Things that happen where the earth is concerned. I'm talking about the physical earth, not the population, not the people, but the physical earth that we live upon, and that the very landscape has been changed forever as a result of that cataclysmic event. We've watched it down through the course of time. We here in Florida, we have each year with something that has already opened up for this season. We call it hurricane season. And there have been major storms that have passed through our area that has literally changed the landscape. All up and down the Gulf Coast, all the way out to Texas. And you know, if I said Katrina, most of you would not think about somebody you know by the name of Katrina. You'd think about a devastating hurricane that wiped out hundreds and thousands of homes all up and down the Gulf Coast. We helped, as a matter of fact, to work with the church in Pascagoula. We also carried a lot of materials and goods to other people out there in the aftermath of Katrina. And it was absolutely incredible to drive down the streets and see what this devastating hurricane did with a 30-foot wall of water that come crashing into the Gulf Coast, and saw the havoc that it wreaked all up and down that coast. And we only saw a small portion of that, but it was unbelievable. We saw homes that were literally washed off the foundation. I saw one home that when I looked at it, it looked like all they had done is just stood the house up on the 2x4s, the walls, and put a roof on it because the brick veneer was gone, the inside walls, all of the sheetrock, everything was totally washed out. There was nothing left inside the house. I saw other houses where the roof had collapsed straight down upon the house. Others at the roofs had been moved many feet away from. It was just unbelievable to see the devastation that had taken place. And so what happened as a result of that storm is the landscape was changed. Everything, the view of things changed. Sister McElroy recently was out in Texas, her and Mother McElroy, and I believe they had an opportunity to go down in the Galveston area and see some of the damage that was done out in the Galveston area as a result of the hurricane that hit there last year. And so I could go on and on. You know, you read about them. You know, the tremendous destruction that can take place by the violent force of nature. We also are very aware of tornadoes. Of course, they're spawned by various kinds of weather patterns. It can be spawned by the weather patterns of the hurricane, but out of the Midwest and across the nation, there have been tornadoes that have touched down and have literally walked or traveled for miles. And sometimes the devastation would be a mile wide. It was just, when you see the pictures, you can hardly imagine that things like this could take place. Watching or seeing a picture where that a 2x4 went right through a tree and it's still intact. It's just hard to believe these things. We had a tornado that actually went over the top of our home here a few years ago. And had it been 20 foot lower, it would have wiped our home out. It did take about 8 of our big oaks out. And ripped trees up, twisted them, and snapped them off. Thank God that it was 20 foot above us rather than right down on the ground. We appreciate the hand of God. So I'm just saying that there's a lot of things in nature that can affect the world that is around us. And it does. Oh, yes, it does. And of course, you know, you heard about the tsunami in the Indian Ocean back in 2004, I believe it was, where over 200,000 people died as a result of that tsunami that affected 11 different countries. But Thailand and Indonesia and I think India were the three major countries that were affected, that were devastated. Entire villages were wiped out. I saw the satellite photos before and after, and had they not had the before and after photos that you could compare, you would not believe that it was the exact same spot where here all of these homes and towns and villages, and then suddenly everything has been wiped off the map. Everything from the homes to the trees and everything else. And you know, one of the things that I found out about during hearing about that is that the animals recognized that there was something in the works, and they fled to higher ground. Many animals, they saw them. There were testimonies by people that said they obviously knew that something was in the works. Something was happening in nature, and something inside of them, their nature said, I gotta fly to higher ground. I'm just gonna throw this in here right now. That if there's anybody in our world today that ought to have something inside of them that's telling them we need to find higher ground. We need to get higher in God. We need to draw closer to God because of what's going on in our world today. Amen. It ought to be people full of the Holy Ghost. It ought to be people that's been baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody that's got something inside that's an indicator of things that are about to happen. Oh, God, I want revival in these last days. Oh, God, I want to see more souls get the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, help us to reach our world like never before. Amen. I believe it's the will of God that we start picking up on some things that are taking place. Amen. We read about earthquakes. Earthquakes are, if there would be any of these that we could talk about shaking, then earthquakes would be exactly that. I've read about earthquakes where 40,000-50,000 people lost their lives. Through the years, there have been major earthquakes that has wreaked devastation. I mean, just called havoc of all kind. Totally wiped out people's livelihood. Took away the homes that they lived in. Their homes came crashing down. Buildings, sometimes stories high, several stories high, would collapse. And people be caught in all of that as a result of an earthquake. And when you really look and you study earthquakes, and I'm not going to get into a lot of detail this morning, but just allow me to just toss out a few things here to kind of fit some stuff in place in our mind where we are today in our world. But there's what's called tectonic plates under the earth's surface. And I know that there's no way that I could do justice to the description. And for one thing, I don't know enough about it. But I do know enough that if I try to get too detailed, I'm going to confuse you. So I'm not going to get detailed. I'm just going to give you just a brief, quick overview of the fact that under the earth's surface, there is what is called tectonic plates. There are 8 major ones in our world, in our earth. And there are many minor ones. There is a major one right here in the nation, in the United States, and it's called the San Andreas Fault out in California. As a matter of fact, here just a few days ago, our children, Brother Terry and Sister Dina Whipp, they're preaching in an area that's right there in that fault. And they experienced their first earthquake. It was not major, But they're sitting there at the church in the pastor's home fellowshipping and eating. And all of a sudden, things start dancing on the floor. And everything is moving and jiggling. And they realize we're in an earthquake right now. And someone spoke up and said, that's an earthquake. And so what was happening was there was some movement going on. Where these tectonic plates meet one another, it is called a fault line. And these tectonic plates, there's basically three ways that they work, and that is they can press against one another. They're moving against one another, and then others are moving. One can be moving under another one, or a third way is that they can actually be moving apart from one another. I am told that these tectonic plates move at the speed of 10 to 40 millimeters annually, which is about the speed that fingernails grow, and they can move up to speeds of 160 millimeters annually, and that's about the speed that hair grows. So that gives you a little idea about how fast they move. They don't move very fast. Very, very slow do they press against one another. However, when the pressure of these plates grinding against one another reaches a breaking point, or reaches a point where that the pressure can no longer be sustained, then you have a major shift. There is oftentimes a shift that is so great. I was reading about an earthquake last night that didn't happen last night, but it was back in history. That was something like 9.3 on the Richter scale, which is a very major earthquake. And when that shift takes place, then oftentimes if it's a major earthquake, then it will change the landscape. The ground will literally roll with that shifting of those tectonic plates. Buildings come down. Sister Bass and I in 1989 went out to California to a conference, and while there we had the opportunity to go to San Francisco, which had just been hit by an earthquake, and saw the unbelievable degree of devastation as a result of that. Many homes and many buildings were destroyed because of that earthquake. And so what I'm pointing out to you is that when that shift takes place, it can bring about tremendous destruction. It can bring about unbelievable chaos, and it can bring about a change in the environment, in the landscape, that is never, ever the same again because of that shift, because that something has happened that's disrupted everything. And so I'm just using that to tell you that there has been down through time some major shifts in our world that has made some unbelievable changes in our society. Amen. I believe that there have been social shifts that have taken place. There have been social shifts that has happened that has changed our world for all time. There is one man by the name of Adolf Hitler that was one such man who brought on an unbelievable change. He was a man with an insatiable lust for power and a deep hatred for Jews. And this man, I believe, single-handedly brought about and brought on a world war, World War II, that we had the greatest loss of life in World War II than we did any other war in the history of our world. Between 50 and 60 million lives were lost. There were 6 million Jews that were killed in the death camps in Germany. All I'm pointing out to you is simply that there have been shifts in time that has devastated our world. I'm going to tell you that not only was our world affected and the balance of power shifted and a lot of things happened in World War II, but there's a lot of social stuff that was changed. Amen. There's a lot of things. If you go back, history during that time, there were major changes that took place even in our social structure. Right here in America, things begin to change that has never gone back to what it used to be. And it was because there was a man, one man that rose up. And he began to bring about a shift and a change that has affected us. As a matter of fact, yesterday I guess it was they had the honoring at the beach there in France of D-Day, and the many thousands of men who lost their lives. They honored them, and so I'm only saying to you that there has been tremendous changes down through time. But you know, when I read the scripture, I also find in the Word of God that there were men that brought on a great shift and a great change. Noah was one of those. Hebrews 11 and 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. 1 Peter chapter 3, it talks about those who were sometime disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. And then 2 Peter 2 and 5 said he spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Friend, you want to talk about a shift? I'm telling you, there was a shift that took place. Whenever God called a man and God said, I'm going to save you and your family. I want you to build an ark to the saving of your life and the lives of your family. And God's long suffering waited while Noah took some 120 years to build that ark to save his family. But when the rain began to fall, friend, you talk about a change in the landscape. The entire world was covered with water of his time. And in that period of time, God wiped out the entire world of that hour because of their sin and their ungodliness. But yet floating on the water was a man that believed in God and had faith and confidence in God. Hallelujah. I'm going to come to some things here today before we are through. But while I'm on my way, I want you to see these men that in the midst of tremendous change, there was somebody who kept faith in God. There was somebody who walked with God. Amen. I want to talk later about our time. But while I'm on my way to that time, don't you ever forget this. And that is that no matter what we're looking for in the future, and no matter what's coming our way, I've come to tell you that we serve a God that can do for us what He did for Noah. And that's lift us up above the wrath that's coming on this world. Give us a place of security. Give us a place of hope and help. I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to be a Noah that says, I want to be a preacher of righteousness. I want to stand for the truths of God's Word, because I know when all is said and done, those that stand for truth are those that the Lord's going to save from all of the sin of the world. Amen. And then we have Abraham. Abraham was the man that this one man changed his world. Whenever God called him, Genesis 12, 1 and 2, it said, God had said unto Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curses you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. God had called this man, and Abraham accepted the call that came from God. And then he not only accepted the call, but he left the land of his nativity. And then he entered into a covenant relationship with God. And he became the father of the nation of Israel. The very reason why that you can pick up your newspaper today and you can read about the nation of Israel. The very reason why that you can turn on your radio and you can read about the nation of Israel. It's because almost 4,000 years ago, there was a man that stood up and said, I'll go where you want me to go, God. I'll do what you want me to do, God. I'll be yours. I'm totally and I'm completely yours. And as a result of that one man standing up and doing the will of God, friend, we have today the Jews that are numbered in the multiplied millions. Right now, in the nation of Israel, there's some 10,000 Jews being born every year right within their borders. You say, what do you mean by all of that? I'm just telling you that because a man said, I'll be faithful to God. I'll stand for God. I'll be what God wants me to be. And he accepted the covenant relationship. 4,000 years later, we read about him today. Amen. We read about his posterity. There have been civilizations, church, that have risen and they have fallen. There have been nations come and nations go. But there's one nation of people and one group of people that still stand today because of a covenant relationship that they had with Jehovah God. Hallelujah. You say, well, I don't know why this all relates. I'll tell you how it relates. I don't care what condition the world is in. It doesn't matter where we are, where we're coming to. Something tells me that if you and I would just lay hold of our relationship with God and walk faithfully before Him, we don't have anything to fear. Thank God we've got nothing to fear whenever we serve Him in beauty of holiness. Oh, come on now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And can I say this? If one man could rise up and set a course for his family and for his posterity, and that they still live today, those who are without a doubt full-blooded 100% Jews, amen. What ought a church be able to do as a collective body that's full of the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name? Oh, hallelujah. I refuse to take on the attitude that says that we ought to just kind of close shop and lock the doors and just hope that all of us can make it. Oh, no, no, no. Something inside of me tells me that there's some folks out here that are hungry for God. Hey, come on now. Hallelujah. There's some souls that need the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if one man could bring about a shift in things, and God began to bless a nation and bless a people to the point where that when they went down to Egypt, they were in bondage for some 430 years, that there was a man that rose up, another man that brought on another shift. Oh, hallelujah. Here they are in Egypt. Here they are bound. Here they are having to serve the taskmasters, building the pyramids. Amen. And all the various things that went on in the land of Egypt. And yet here was a man that heard from God. Here was a man that some things began to unfold in his life. And we're told in Hebrews 11, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And I could read on and on. But I want you to notice that it was by faith all of this started. It was by faith when he come to years that he said, I'm not going to be identified with the household of Pharaoh. But by faith, he did not fear the king. By faith, he forsook Egypt. By faith, he kept the Passover. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. What do you find here? You find a progressive relationship that is being promoted and provoked and driven by a man with faith in God in his heart. Hallelujah. I challenge us today to realize that when Moses stood in Pharaoh's palace and said, God said, let my people go, that he faced the world of that time that said, you folks are not going anywhere. You're going to stay here. But it wasn't very long, friend, when Egypt was saying, get out of our sight. Get out of our face. And they're walking out 600,000 footmen strong, besides women and children, some 2 to 3 million people. What happened, friend? There was a shift that took place because one man rose up and said, you said, what are you saying, preacher, by all of this? I'm just trying to encourage us that it doesn't matter what we're facing in our world. It doesn't matter what happens in the end time, that there is a God that can bring us through, that can cause us to rise up and have an impact on the world that we live in today. Does anybody believe what I'm trying to tell you? I'm getting there, so hang on. I could talk about David. I'm going to skip over him, but he brought on worship like never before. Then we could talk about John the Baptist. Oh, yeah. Coming out of the wilderness, clothed with camel skin. Amen. Leather girdle, the Bible calls it. And he ate locust and wild honey. Here is a man that came out preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. You talk about a shift taking place. For 400 years, they had never heard the voice of God. But John the Baptist, having the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, hallelujah, came out of the wilderness and he stood by Jordan's river. And that man began to preach the gospel. He preached the message, amen, of the kingdom of God. And he said, I want to tell you now, I've come as the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight. He said, I want to tell you now, I'm not he that should come, but there's one coming after me who's mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. And the word of the Lord tells us that all Judea came out to be baptized of him. Everybody suddenly is beginning to forsake the old Judeo way of religion, and they're out there on the banks of Jordan's river, and they're seeing a man that looks like a wild man, but he's got God in his life, and there's a shift taking place. Amen. Faith is beginning to arise in some hearts. A message is being preached, and they're going out in the water, and they're being baptized unto repentance, and they're hearing a message, and one day he's down there baptizing them, and while he's baptized, and he looks up, and on the outer skirts is a man outskirts of the crowd. There's a man approaching, and Jesus, amen, making his way to where John is. And John stops everything and says, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. My God, hallelujah. Come on. I've come to tell you, we can still talk about Jesus. We can still preach about the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the entire world. Amen. Major shift. Major shift. Problems. Tremendous problems that they were facing in that time. And yet men turned other men's attention toward God. The Roman Empire was in control of a majority of the civilized world at that time. Amen. The tentacles of their dictatorship and their empire, the emperor of Rome, was all over the world at that time, reached all the way into Palestine, and they controlled that area. Excuse me. And not only did they have the fact that their country, Canaan's land, was under occupation of the Roman Empire. But the religious system of Israel had been skewed and twisted and distorted. There were two major religious worlds of that time, or leaders of that time. You had the Pharisees, who believed in being strict adherence to the law. And then you had the Sadducees, that was those that wanted to kind of marry a lot of the cultural activities and the social world in their little world of view of Moses' law. So there was a lot of problems. There was a lot of conflicts. In the middle of all of that, there comes a John the Baptist. In the middle of all of that, there comes God robed in flesh. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, friend, before it's over with, and I could get on in the book of Acts. I got some more things I want to talk about. But whenever you get over in the book of Acts, friend, you find out that the power of the Holy Ghost is falling and men are turning toward God in the midst of a Roman Empire, in the midst of the occupation, in the midst of all kinds of struggles and problems of that time. And in fact, when you read about the Roman Empire and you read about their activities and their social life, they were by far probably of that time the most immoral, the most ungodly people of all time. I wouldn't even stand in this pulpit and tell you about what they were and how they conducted themselves. And yet, in the midst of all of that, oh glory to God, the Word of God went forth and souls were being filled with the Holy Ghost and people being baptized in Jesus' name. You say, what does that mean to us today? It simply means I don't care how horrible the world gets, how degraded in sin they get. We have a God that still can shine a light of truth into their heart and they'll reach out for a God that only can save them. I mean, there's still people today that love God, that desire to walk with God. Amen, amen, amen. I believe that. I believe that. Praise God. So, times have changed. Let's talk about the present. Let's talk about the world we live in right now. There is an unprecedented shift in our nation and in the entire world. I hope you've been listening a little bit. Hope you've been reading a little bit. But we are currently right now in our nation. We are in a headlong downward spiral into socialism. Where our society is concerned. Where our economy is concerned. It's there. You might as well admit it. It's there. And where there are varying companies that are being nationalized. And being controlled now from Washington as opposed to allowing the marketplace to control them. Amen. You say, I don't mean nothing to me. I'll tell you what's going to mean to you before it's over with. Amen. They're starting to appear the big boys. And it's going to work right on down until it gets down here to every last one of us where every one of us live. Come on, church. Amen. You can close your door of your home at night and pretend that it's not going to happen, but they'll be knocking on your door one day. I'm not going to sit here and give you a sad story, but I'm just going to tell you that I would not be one bit surprised. You hear me, church? I would not be one bit surprised if before the end of this year that we are living in right now, I am not prophesying it's going to happen. I am not telling you it's going to take place, but I'm going to tell you I would not be one bit surprised if there were not United Nations troops being housed on the soil of the United States of America. I would not be surprised. Amen. You say, well, what difference does that make? It makes a big difference. It makes a big difference when we start giving up our sovereignty as a nation. Help me, Jesus. I knew I was going to lose some of y'all here this morning, but it's still the truth anyhow. Amen. Had a lady, one of my grandsons, come running in the house the other day. And as they ran in the house, they said, there's somebody outside out there. And I went out there, and here's a woman with an instrument in her hand, standing just 30 feet from my front door. And I walked out and said, "Can I help you?" And she pulled out a piece of paper. She said, "I am with the Census Bureau." And she said, "I can't answer any questions, but that's all I'm here." And I did not realize. I can tell you this: I didn't like it. I wasn't happy about it. Something about this whole situation did not set too well with me. And I took the paper and I went in the house. And it wasn't until later that I found out the reason she was there. That instrument she had, she was marking GPS coordinates of my home. Now, that may not mean much to you. You say, "Well, you got an address, they can find you." Well, what about somebody that doesn't have any clue about addresses and all these things and that's coming in to our nation? All they got to have is just a GPS coordinates, and they know right exactly where to go to and who to find. You say, "Well, you sound like a conspiracy theorist." No, I'm really not, but I do believe I'm a realist, and I know that there's some things shaping up right now that you and I, oh yes, hallelujah, we better stand up and pay attention. Something inside of us ought to be saying, "I got to get up higher. I got to get up higher. There's trouble coming. There's a storm on the way. I got to get up higher. I got to get close to God. I need to pray more. I need to seek God more." Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Amen. Can I confess something to you this morning? I lost a very dear friend of mine 2 years ago. Amen. By the name of Pastor Buddy Atchison. Amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, a preacher of the gospel, a man faithful to God. I lost him 2 years ago on my birthday. I got to confess to you and tell you that I almost, when I think about it, I'm almost envious of him. Knowing he's already made it. Knowing that he's a lot of stuff he won't ever have to face. And he will never have to deal with. Come on, church. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you is, no, I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm telling you, there's coming a shaking. There's coming another shaking. And when the shaking is over, where will you be? Amen. Amen. Of course, we know that all these things that are happening is just a precursor to the things we've heard preached for years. We've heard it talked about for years. A one world government, a one world monetary system, a one world religious system. As a matter of fact, the spread of Islam or the Muslim religion is on a fast track to becoming the predominant world religion. It's happening right now. You say, "Do you fear that you stand in the pulpit and preach these kinds of things?" Yeah, well, to a degree, I understand that the day is coming. Already in the House of Representatives, they have passed a hate speech bill. Already, they have passed a hate speech bill. I'm going to tell you where it's headed, church. It's the same way it is in Canada right now. And that is that there will be a point where that even if you just take your Bible and read verses that condemn the alternate lifestyle, the perverted lifestyle of our world today, you could be imprisoned. It's happened already in Canada. Men are in prison because of it. And they're on a fast track in the United States of America. You say, "Oh, Pastor, you're scaring me." I don't want to scare you. I want to promote something here this morning that says, I got to get to higher ground. I got to get to a higher place. There's a storm on the way. I want to pray more. I want to go to church more. I want to seek God more. I want greater revival. Come on, I hope you understand what I'm trying to tell you. Amen, amen, amen. And all of this that's taking place is setting the stage for the Antichrist. Oh yeah, the spirit of Antichrist is already at work in the world. But this is setting the stage for the Antichrist. Amen. As a matter of fact, I can tell you that our current president is right now actively pursuing this very course of which I speak. Amen. We got to rise up and be conscious of where we are and where we're headed and seek the face of God for His help. Amen. I got to take a few more minutes here. When Daniel, along with a lot of others, was carried into captivity. A lot of Jews, many Jews, were carried into captivity by Babylon, which would prove to be a major shift in the manner of the people of God regarding their worship and their belief system. Oh yeah, it was out of Babylon that there came two different types of people and two different approaches to the law of God and the Word of God, from which in process of time during that several hundred year period that they became known as what I've already called them, Pharisees and Sadducees. It's all there in Scripture and it's all there in history to verify what I'm telling you. But isn't that social shift, in that spiritual shift that took place, there was, oh hallelujah, some boys that said, we're not going to defile ourselves with the king's meat or the wine which he drinks. Amen. We're not going to pollute ourselves. When you read the scripture, it was the king that instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he would bring certain of the children of Israel, the king's seed, the prince's children, whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning and knowledge, understanding such and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might learn, teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. I want you to notice what their intentions were. Their intentions were, when we bring them in, there's two things that we're going to do. We're going to teach them how to think like the Chaldeans, and we're going to teach them how to talk like the Chaldeans. We're going to teach them the language of the Chaldeans, and we're going to teach them how to think, their learning, the way that they think on things. And so the king appointed them a daily portion. And they would go through this period of time for about 3 years, and then they would come and stand before the king. Now, there was one named Daniel, and there was three others whose name was Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah that was chosen to be trained and brought before the king. And so the prince of the eunuchs gave them names. He gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, to Hananiah of Shadrach, to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. Now, this may not mean much to you, but I'm going to tell you, this is the very thing that's happening in our world today. Number one, understand what they wanted them to do. They wanted them to train them and teach them in the learning of the Chaldeans. And secondly, they wanted to teach them the language of the Chaldeans, to speak their language. Now, to start the process, they said, what we've got to do is give you new names. Your name is Daniel. Your name is Hananiah. Your name is Mishael. Your name is Azariah. Daniel, we're going to call you Belteshazzar. And Hananiah, we're going to call you Shadrach. And Mishael, we're going to call you Meshach. And Azariah, we're going to call you Abednego. Well, what is, so what? So what? Well, I'll tell you, the difference is that when you talk about Daniel and you talk about Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, you're talking about men whose names related directly to Jehovah God. Every one of their names talked about God and Jehovah. It meant something where Jehovah God of Israel was concerned. However, when they changed their names to Belteshazzar and to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they changed their names to represent gods of the land of Babylon. Simple. Amen. The devil wants to change your name. The devil wants to change your identity. He wants to change who you are. And if he could change your name, your identity, the next thing he's after is how you think. And the next thing is your language, how you speak. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, what the enemy would like for us to speak is a language of appeasement, where the world is concerned. Not preach against sin, not preach against the world, not preach against the wickedness of our generation. Stay away from all of that. Let's just kind of live in appeasement here. Let's somehow draw a line and let's compromise. I got to tell you, I'm going to preach about this some more here and real soon. But I'm going to tell you, the one thing that we cannot afford is to lose our identity. We are a one God people. We baptize in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. We believe in receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with other tongues. Amen, amen. We don't want to lose our identity. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I want you to see, if you will just stop and look and think about what's going on, what's happening in our world today, is there is a major shift away from, concepts of God. Amen. Things that relate to the Word of God. Well, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you now, our president stood in Cairo and referred to the Holy Quran, but I've never heard him say the Holy Bible. I've never heard him make the statement about the Holy Bible. Come on, church. What I'm trying to tell you is there's a world right now that's doing everything it can to extract Jesus Christ out of the equation. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Remove it entirely. Some of y'all not riding with me, but that's all right. Amen. There'll be a day you'll remember what I'm telling you right now. There'll be a day you'll remember that I'm telling you that the world is on a slippery slope, sliding into eternity, and everything that's going on is an effort to take away our identity. Amen. There's a shaking going on. Amen. And the world wants us to think like they think. The world wants us to accept perversion as an acceptable lifestyle. Oh yeah. They want us to accept that these things are okay. God help us. When we start thinking like the world thinks, that this is okay. Can I hear a witness? I'm telling you, we better rise up and start finding us a higher place in God. Amen. We need to rise up, find us a higher place in God. Amen. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Now, when you get down to verse number 17, here's the thing I want you to notice in all of this. As for these four children, I want you to see verse 17. God gave them, you hear me? God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Everything else that was going on. Yet in the middle of all of this, can I tell you that they didn't have this to begin with. But they sought for it. I believe that while they were eating pulse and water, and while they were abstaining from what the world of their time offered them, they were praying, God give us wisdom. God give us knowledge. God give us skill. We don't know how to handle the world that we are in. And we don't know what to do about the times. Give us wisdom, God. Help us. And the Bible says that God gave them knowledge. And God gave them skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had an understanding in all visions and dreams. God gave them this. While others were being trained in the ways of the Chaldeans, while others were being trained in the language of the Chaldeans, Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah were over here with their window open toward Jerusalem saying, oh God, we need your wisdom. We need your knowledge. We need skill, God. You got to help us to know how to deal. What I'm pointing this out to you is the simple fact that we live in the same Babylonian atmosphere, the same degrading, immoral, ungodly world. And there needs to be a church that says, oh God, give us wisdom. We need wisdom. We need your knowledge. We need your understanding. We don't know how to deal with the world that we're in, but you can help us deal with it. Amen. And so, as I wrap this up this morning, I want you to notice some things. Some verses of scripture that I think are important. He said, yet once more, signifieth yet once more. He said, I shake the heavens, or my voice shook the earth then, but yet once more. And he said, that statement, yet once more, signifies something. It tells us something. And that is that there is, it signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken that may remain. So what is going to happen here? This second shaking that's going to go on, This second shaking that's going to take place that's been prophesied in Scripture and has not yet happened, but it's on its way. What is it that is going to happen? He said, the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. What he's referring to here is that all creation, everything that's been created, everything that's been made upon this earth, he said, there's going to come a shaking where all of those things that can be shaken will be removed. So that which cannot be shaken may remain. So you say, what is going to be removed? Everything in this world. You're sitting in this building right here, but there's coming a shaking one day, friend, when this building will no longer be standing. Huh? This building will no longer, every piece of asphalt, every home, every single thing that's ever been made. When you study the Word of God, and I'm going to give you more verses to verify it, but when you study the Scripture, everything in this world, when it is shaken by the voice of God, it is going to be totally obliterated. What is going to remain? I'll tell you what's going to remain. Everything eternal. Hallelujah. I said everything eternal. Everything eternal. Everything that God's got His hand on. Now notice something. Psalms 145 and 13. He said, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Thy dominion endureth through all generations. Daniel 4 and 3. How great are His signs. How mighty are His wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And His dominion is from generation to generation. Daniel 4 and 34. And at the end of the days of Nebuchadnezzar, I lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned into me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. Daniel 7 and 14, and there was given Him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. And the kingdom, verse 27 of Daniel 7, and the kingdom and dominion, the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints, the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey Him. Verse 14 says, there's going to be given Him dominion and glory and a kingdom that will never pass away. Verse 27 says, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey Him. What are we learning here? We're learning, friend, that when everything is shaken and everything's been destroyed and everything that can be shaken has been removed, the only thing that's going to be left standing is the kingdom of Almighty God. Hallelujah. And who is that kingdom going to be possessed by? Who is that kingdom going to have? Amen. It's going to be the saints of the Most High God. You know what I'd be trying to figure out? Is what does it take to be a saint? Oh, hallelujah. I said, what does it take to be a saint? What does it take to be a child of God? If the only thing left is going to be the kingdom of God, what's it going to take to be a saint to possess that kingdom? Amen. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Luke 17 and 21. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for the kingdom of God is within you. Oh, hallelujah. You say, what's going to happen? Well, real quick, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 6. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now. Somebody say, which are now. By the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall what? Somebody tell me. Shall pass away with a what? A great noise, and the elements shall what? melt with what kind of heat? A fervent. That's a white hot heat. That's not just a blue flame or a red flame. It's a white hot flame. The earth also and the works that are therein. This is the works right here of man. Buildings and facilities. He said every bit of that is going to melt with a fervent heat. They're going to be burned up. He said, seeing then that all these things shall be what? Shall be what? Shall be dissolved. Seeing then that all that can be shaken is going to be removed. How is it going to be removed? It's going to be removed by a fervent heat. There's going to be a shaking and a burning. This earth that you and I are living on today, the day is coming when it will go through a purging process. And everything, I don't care how high the tower is that man has built, it will not escape. Somebody help me now. He said, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Doing what? Verse 12. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for what? New heavens and what? A new earth wherein dwelleth what? Righteousness. This world is going to be purged of all sin, evil, wickedness, and unrighteousness. And it's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And the only thing that's going to be in this earth is going to be righteousness. Huh? Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. There's a shaking coming. There's some tectonic plates right now in the eternal that's about to shift. There's about to be a shift take place where the Lord Himself descends from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ rise first. Oh, glory to God. And we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. You say, Pastor Bass, can you give me a date? No, I can't give you a date. No more than anybody else can. Amen. I can't give you a time. I can't give you a date. But I can tell you what I can do. I can point you to some things that's happening in our world right now. That's shaping up, shaping up, shaping up. And I mean, it's almost like, boom, there it is. We're looking at things we never dreamed we would look at. I'm seeing things right now that I never dreamed I would see. I was thinking, yeah, down the road somewhere. But no, friend, there's some stuff happening right now. It portends troublesome times ahead for the church. Amen. And I know I got to close. I know I've preached way over time this morning. But this I feel a burden in my spirit. If the animals in India and Indonesia and Thailand, if there was enough in them to cause them to recognize something's in the process of happening, we better find higher ground. Then we better wake up and let the Holy Ghost start telling us something. Let the Holy Ghost start speaking to our heart, telling us the time is at hand. I've got to get higher in God. I've got to have the Holy Ghost. I've got to be born again of water and spirit. I can't live where I'm living any longer. I've got to get ready. I've got to be ready to meet the Lord. I've got to be ready. I've got to make sure that I've made my calling and my election sure. I've got to prepare myself. I want us to stand. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.